kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for our teaching today, and we're calling this God Provides the Seed. God Provides the Seed. And we're going to base our teaching today from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. And today it's God Provides the Seed. And in this chapter, Paul encourages the believers to be charitable, to be giving. And it's the way that we give, and to be aware of the circumstances, the times, the needs that are around us. It's also interesting that the apostle in this second letter to the Corinthian church, he's in many ways not only vindicating his ministry, but he's trying to influence and help the Corinthians, because false teachers are coming in and they're beginning to confuse and stir up the people, and they are claiming that the apostle is a proud man. He's not very well kept in his appearance. He's not good in his speech. He's rather dishonest. He's certainly unqualified as an apostle. And so it goes on. And this is one of the reasons why he's writing this second letter to the church, to continue to encourage them that God has not made a mistake. Don't listen to what these other people are saying. And I don't think anything changes. The enemy, he works the same, and we still hear the same criticisms today, do we not? But Jesus said, didn't he, by the fruit you will know them. So we're going to look at today, God Provides the Seed, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And then he goes on, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which cause thanksgiving through us to God, and so on. But really, it's verse 10 that I want to look at today. As I said, he's under attack. They're questioning his ministry. They are questioning the source of revelation. Is God really like this? Is God doing what he's saying? They're raising all questions. They're putting doubts in the people's hearts, just like the powers of darkness do. And it's no different today. They are the same attacks that get us to question, to ask, and so on. But we all have to learn God's love, and that God loves us, and that God doesn't make a mistake. And this is why God provides seed. Now, what is being revealed here? Well, it's quite simple. It's what is being revealed is it's sowing and reaping. You see, God makes man accountable, and especially for the Christian because of what we have been given in Jesus Christ and the light and the revelation that he's giving to us. For example, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13, which we know very well. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13, which he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure." And we're going to see today in this teaching that it is God who provides. God provides that seed. And he gives the power of that seed to increase. And he gives us the responsibility of planting that seed and reaping the increase. But we need to learn what he's saying here, because he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure." You see, you work it out. And as you work it out, what happens? God works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. You see, we need to understand in the Christian walk, we always meet God halfway. God isn't going to just wave a magic wand and it will happen. And this is where a lot of Christians go wrong. And this is why we have taught you faith over the years, because faith takes that step of faith so that you begin to experience and understand, then God begins to take over. In other words, he's met you halfway in your step of faith, and you begin to experience that God starts to work in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. It doesn't just happen. You see, we see that God gives seed to the sower because obviously, he's the source, he's the life, he gives the seed. But what do we do with that seed? We sow it in order to give it back to God as an offering, in which it's part of our worship and our praise. So God, yes, he gives us that gift of faith. He expects us to use that faith, to take these steps of faith, where then I've just read to you that God will begin to work in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. How can you worship God in spirit and in truth if you don't experience his pleasure? What pleases him, in other words? Your heavenly Father wants to reveal to you what pleases him. And as you take these steps of faith, you begin to realize he works within you. He gives you the ability, the power in which to offer back that worship and praise. And in the light of what we're talking about here today, God provides the seed because we are spiritual sowers. We are spiritual farmers. He's given seed, which we're going to look at later on. But it is always in light of that step of faith. That is why without faith it is impossible to please God. He regards it as sin in our life. And so as we take that step of faith in the light of his word the promises of his word, that confidence that my Father loves me and he makes no mistake over my life. As we take those steps of faith, then we get the understanding God is working in me. For what purpose? To bring about the blessing, to bring about the promise that you're standing and acting upon. That is what it means by this. And so he provides for us. He gives us this seed that is to be sown. Looking back again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. And he does this in order that we offer it back as worship and praise, because our whole life is an offering to God. When we place ourselves upon that altar as an offering, Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's all about worship. It's all about offering back. So you have been saved, your sins have been forgiven, they've been cast away as far as the east is to the west. Now you offer back worship. You praise him. And how do you do it? By offering your life, your heart, placing it upon the altar. And that is the way we give back worship, offering, giving to God. But he gives the power to give. He gives that seed. And not only does he give that seed, but that seed is able to multiply, to double, treble, quadruple, and so on. We need to understand and experience this, brothers and sisters, as we're going to miss out what the deeper life is about and what God is fundamentally doing with each of us and as a church. What does it say in Psalm 100 and verse 4? We all know this well and we sing it. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful for him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Remember, I spoke last week about thanking God, being thankful. Well, really, one could say that this is an ongoing teaching from that teaching last week. And some of you emailed me just to say how blessed and how God spoke to you through that teaching. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And here, of course, it's speaking about where the saints come together. We enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. And that's why our gathering together is so important. It's more important than coming online. And God uses that. Of course he does. But here it speaks of how important that saints come together, giving thanks, entering his courts with praise and thanksgiving, and so on. What does it say in Psalm 95? Psalm 95, verses 2 to 3. Psalm 95, verses 2 to 3. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. And in his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also, and the seas, for he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Here we are again. These are testimonies of where we share, we exhort, we encourage one another. We sing psalms and praises to God. Because God provides, he gives. Let's look at some more just to encourage ourselves. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Psalm 106 and verse 1, which says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then we see another psalm, the following psalm, Psalm 107 and verse 15. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So there we are. Only that true praise can come out of Christians and out of a church when they experience God's provision, that God provides this seed in which to be sown and to reap and to bring in these spiritual harvests. This is what it's talking about. This is what encourages you to offer up this praise and worship and so on. Because God gives the ability of increase. It doesn't come from us. It comes from him. For example, I'm just going to give scriptures here to really expound what I'm saying here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Again, he gives the increase as we give out. It's the whole nature of it. Let's turn also to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm trying to show that God provides the seed. He gives the increase, gives the ability for the increase. But that is our step of faith in order to see this spiritual seed increasing. Ephesians 5, verses 19 to 20. 19 to 20 of Ephesians 5. "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Again, it's speaking of our gathering together as a church. We come making a joyful noise. We all come partaking. We all come prepared, ready to give and not be ministered to all the time. Whether it's a song, a psalm, a testimony, prayers, making melody in your heart. In other words, having a blessed and a good time in the Lord's presence. Because if we can't have that in the house of God, we certainly can't have it anywhere else. But I am convinced that this really can only come out of relationship and out of experiencing God's provision and what he has given us in Jesus Christ. You see, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about being forgiven. We're talking about his word. We're talking about his plan, the way he guides us, the way he reveals to us, what he's showing us now in the last days. If we're not convinced by any of that, then we have hindrances. And all the while we have hindrances and questions, we are not fruitful. We cannot sow. We cannot fully use that seed that he gives because we have questions. Now we see, and I've been alluding to this, that he gives seed. And this seed that he gives is his offering to the earth. That's what it is. The seed that he gives is his offering to the earth. We know this because we read in Genesis 1 and 2 of God's creation. And when he created man, he said, "Let man be fruitful and let him multiply and let him till the earth and fill it up." What was he saying there? He was saying, "I've given you the ability to procreate. I've given you the ability, I've given you seed to sow in order to reap, to multiply, and to offer it back to me in worship, in praise." God only gives in order that we give it back for worship, for praise. That is what our whole life, our salvation is about. That is why we offer ourselves back to God as a living sacrifice. And it seems so few Christians understand this. And all the while, if we are consumed with ourselves and what I want to do, this is always going to be a hindrance. Sowing will be a hindrance. Reaping will be a hindrance. And this is why some Christians are not reaping spiritually as they should. And it's not just talking of material things. Our reaping from the Lord is also our relationship, our consecration, our blessing, our revelation of our Heavenly Father. And that is why we preach the deeper life, so that you can go as deep and as far as you want, because he's given that spiritual seed. And of course we know that man fell and the enemy got in there because he didn't like man having that ability, that authority to be able to sow and reap. That is why he attacked the seed of the woman. You know, he has more insight at times than sleepy Christians. And it's sad that churches can be so asleep to all of this. And this is why I make so much of the promises of God's word, because they are promises that are given to us. And as we step out in faith on them, so God then begins to work in us in order to be blessed, to multiply it, and to give it back to him in worship. When you begin to understand that your steps of faith in whatever situation you're going through is not about just you, it's about your offering it back to him for his glory. The problem is we're still too self-centered. What I want to do, what I want out of it. There are some who came into this walk and the deeper life who came with the wrong motives. There are some who have left FGA because they came with the wrong motives. I know, because the Lord has shown me. It's what they wanted to get out of it. Failing to see that God gives the seed. And he gives the ability of that seed in which to be sown and to multiply for the very purpose that we offer it back to him as an offering. We see this from the parable of the sower. I'll just remind you again of this, one of the greatest parables Jesus gave. You remember he said some seed fell on the wayside, and birds came and devoured the seed. And then remember, there was seed that fell on stony places. And in other words, there wasn't much earth in which it could make root. It couldn't penetrate. And so when the hot weather and the sun comes, it scorched, it burnt. And then some fell among thorns. And what are the thorns? The thorns grow and choke the seed. And what are the thorns? What does that represent? Your heart still being in the world and wanting to go the world's ways. And then there's the good ground that yields that crop 100, 60 and 30 fold. What are we talking about there? God gives the ability for the seed to increase. For the purpose to offer it back to him in worship and praise. You see, we've got to understand, brothers and sisters, God has set up a system of sowing and reaping. I've preached much on that over the years. What you sow is what you reap. And we know in seasons what we're sowing and what we're reaping, because it's called the trials of our faith. When we meet a trial, when we meet a mountain, when we meet obstacles that we can't get over or seem impossible, they're there for the purpose to reveal to you how you're sowing and reaping. You see, we are to give out. And that's the key to this. And this is why I say, as the scriptures say, from our innermost being flows those rivers of living water. We should have much that flows out of us as Christians. Do we know who our Father is? And he's given us the ability for this. This is why the Christian faith over the centuries, and I'm not saying that everything is completely right, but what we see today, a lot of things that stand, for example, a lot of orphanages that were opened over the last, say, 200 years or so, many of those started by Christians or Christian organizations. Homes that were open for the homeless by Christians. Yes, and even your hospitals. Some of those were started by Christians or Christian movements. That's God working through the believers. You say to me, well, how could God do that? Because God pours rain on the just and the unjust. And if my faith and my sowing and reaping can help even the unjust who don't know Christ, it is still giving. It's not just giving to the Christian, although that is important. We provide for the house of God. We provide for each other. We pray one for another. We are sensitive to the needs of one another. But it goes far beyond that as well. You cannot limit the seed that God gives. God is feeding the unregenerate world out there. The farmers that till the land, many of them who don't know Christ, but he's given the ability for that harvest. And we, of course, are aware how the powers of darkness want to hinder all of that now. Because we're in the last days, how these things that God gives the increase are now being attacked by the powers of darkness. But that doesn't change for the Christian. So God has set up these systems in the world of sowing and reaping. We are to give out, to share in whatever way the Lord leads. Because by doing that, it's giving back to him. And as you give back to him, God multiplies. He gives the power for it to increase. The more you offer, the more he will multiply. That is scripture. He gives some 100, he gives some 60, he gives some 30-fold. The parable of the talents. Another example of the seed that he gives. You see, God put life and breath into us for the very purpose to worship him, to praise him. Do you know something? Blessings stop when you don't sow, when you don't start to give anymore, when your heart begins to look elsewhere. You no longer have that ability to bless. You no longer have that power of worship and praise in your life. You've lost sight of sowing in order to reap. And that is tragic. Did you know something? You can create your own famine. You can create your own drought. Did you know that? And sadly, we have Christians who are unfruitful, lost, depressed, no joy in their lives. That should never be to the born-again, spirit-filled Christian who knows where his or her source comes from. That's why I stress so often that faith comes by hearing, reading this word, Romans 10:17. The word of God is what? Seed being sown into the heart. I have a responsibility when I come to the house of God, when I listen to the word of God, because that is seed being sown. And the seed of the word that is being sown in my heart is to be given back for worship, for glory to God. The power of the seed of God's word, as I receive it and act upon it, enables me to experience the power of God working in me, both to will and do for his good pleasure. God has given us the power and the ability to meet every trial of our faith, if we want him to, for the purpose to glorify him, to give it back to him. That is why God presents the cross in our lives. The denial of the self-life, which we're to take up daily and to follow him. The denial of the self-life is to deal with the selfish me so that I am free to give back to God because of the seed that he gives me. Because I know by faith that that seed he gives me, it multiplies. It grows. I don't know whether you gardeners this year, but something that most of us are all saying, because of all this rain that we've had this year, how much has grown in the garden and countryside and everything. It's gone berserk. Why? There's the principle, because God's raining on it. They're the conditions that plants like in which to grow when the temperature gets hotter. So we're all the while seeing these examples around us. How much more with the word of God, that seed that he gives us. So in his mercy, he gives when we can't even give. And that's the wonderful thing about it. When Christ saved us when we received him as Lord and Saviour. We didn't have this ability. And yet he gives us that ability in which to be able to sow this seed. When we can't even give, when we've got nothing to give. I've found sometimes those who have the least, that is in their life, are one of the most fruitful people. Why? Because it's God who's giving the increase. They're, what seed they have, they're using it for the glory of God. As I bring this to a conclusion, let's look at Isaiah 55. You all know this very well. Isaiah 55 and let's take it up from verse 55 and verse 13. Instead of the thorns shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. There we are. What is it saying? Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snows from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. There we go. He's giving the increase. So shall my words. Look at, he uses that in which to reveal that I'm talking now about my word, the Lord says. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. In other words, it will multiply. It will yield 100, 60, 30. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. And look what it does to you, for you shall go out with sadness, depression. No, you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and so on. There we are. Isaiah has something to say about this. God provides the seed. The question is, what am I doing with that seed? Because as I sow that seed, so it will reap. It will bring in that spiritual harvest. And I will be able to offer this to the Lord as an offering of worship and praise. That is what God is looking for from the overcomer, from FGA, and in these last days, that we are fruitful, because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And that's why we are a separated, sanctified people, set apart to God. Because by that separation from the world, that is the way the fruit will be seen. But if we're so in the world, that fruit is not seen. So there we are. God provides. God gives the seed. He gives the ability for the seed to grow in order that we can give it back to him for worship and praise, and giving it on that altar. That is why when they harvest, they actually put a tenth of the harvest of the field, and they brought it and placed it upon the altar. It was revealing the first fruits. It was revealing there's more to come for God's glory. But here it is. Here's the first fruits, you see. Well, there's the spiritual analogy, what God is doing in the last days. He's going to bring in the harvest. But first, The first fruits must be brought in. And after the first fruits, then the angels go to the four corners of the earth for the gospel for to be preached and to reap and bring in the rest of the harvest. What is that revealing? That God gives the seed, as man sows that seed spiritually, so it reaps the harvest. That is the nature of seed. That is the nature and way God does it. And that is how he's doing it in your life and my life. The question is, do I want my life to be fruitful for God's glory and to offer it and give it back to him in worship and praise? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us the ability through that seed, as we use that seed and plant that seed spiritually, that we experience the increase. Father, forgive us that we can still be so self-centered. It can still be about us, my life and what I want. But Lord, we've been saved to glorify you, to worship you, to offer back to you, Father. Lord, you will not in any way receive any Christian who says, what can I do? What can I give to the Lord? That is the worst thing, Father, we can say. And Lord, we've done it. We've said it. Father, forgive us. Forgive us because we've been blinded to the one who lives in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for your love and mercy. And I pray, Lord, you'll be with us, bless and ever preserve us. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.